My talk is going to be on workers' health in the Arab world, questioning whether it is at all on national agendas in Arab countries. I have no conflict of interest or relationships to disclose. Harsh working conditions are an unfortunate reality for many people living in the Arab world. As a public health practitioner working in Lebanon, I am often overwhelmed by the conditions I see on the Lebanese streets. I see an open and public disregard for the health and safety of workers. Yet, despite this reality, securing safe and healthy work has not been a major demand of the Arab uprising. In fact, very few people in the region are talking about workers' right to health. In this presentation, I answer several basic questions about the state of workers' health in the Arab world. First, what are the prevalent working conditions and how have these translated into health outcomes? What societal factors have contributed to these admittedly poor outcomes, and what have researchers done to understand and address these issues? Finally, I consider what steps must we take moving forward to improve the status of workers' health in the Arab region. I will begin with anecdotal evidence from Lebanon to illustrate the conditions of work on our streets. The construction sector is poorly regulated in Lebanon, and these photos illustrate an example of this neglect. As you can see, the man is working hundreds of feet above the ground. He's standing on a ladder that is set on a suspended wooden plank, only a few feet wide. Moreover, he is not wearing a helmet and appears to have no support harness preventing his fall. Here we have other construction workers also very much at risk. This photo here shows a child picking through a Beirut dumpster. There are thousands of vulnerable waste pickers across the country who search in earnest for recyclables. Although not visible in this picture, these workers are covered head to toe in grime. Waste pickers are one example of workers in Lebanon's informal sector. This photo shows a bakery worker preparing pita bread. He is clearly crammed into an awkward space with sharp and blunt objects right behind his head. His work tasks involve standing next to a flaming wooden stove in a room without ventilation, and during the summer, temperatures outside can reach 110 degrees Fahrenheit with considerable humidity. The temperatures inside the bakery become unbearable, as you might expect. Here we have Nargili, or Shisha, or Hubble Bubble delivery workers holding the lit material in their hands during transportation. So they are on a bike, and they take this material to households to deliver them. Here we have workers in Tripoli seaport in North Lebanon, photographed by a group of my students who are showing on the bottom right-hand side of the picture. These anecdotes suggest a very poor situation for workers' health and safety in Lebanon. The situation also extends to other Arab countries. This table compares annual fatal and non-fatal accident rates across different regions in the world. The data comes from a 2000 study that also included data on Arab states. As you can see, Arab states fare the worst among this group. The rates here are nearly twice as high as those of China and about five times those of the established market economies, including the European Union, North America, Japan, Australia, and others. Of course, you might tell me that there is underreporting in China, but also this applies to the Arab world as well. There is underreporting there as well. The next slide includes national outcomes for selected Arab states. As you can see in the first column, the greatest number of fatal accidents occur in the agricultural industry. Given the high-risk job in this sector, this is not really very unexpected. Meanwhile, the highest-performing Arab states are in the Gulf region, but even in the highest-performing Arab countries, they still fare worse than other economically developed countries, as you see from the figures. Kuwait is the best performer of the lot in the Arab states, yet its rates are about 2.5 times higher than those in the United States. What has caused these conditions? What is behind this bad performance? Two of the macro processes are globalization and regional and internal conflicts. These developments are not necessarily the root cause of poor workplace safety and health, but they have a tremendous impact on shaping regional economies and the vulnerability of workers. Arab governments also deserve a lot of blame, as they have done a poor job at protecting workers. In addition, the weak state public health institutions and the lack of political will to change things have stifled improvements in the health of workers. Globalization has rapidly transformed Arab countries. In the last few decades, we have witnessed a massive transfer of rural populations to urban centers. The technological advances in agriculture and other industries have increased productivity while reducing labor needs. Market liberalization has brought capital to the region with some development, yet the benefits of this progress have not been shared equitably, made clear by large income inequality and high unemployment rates across the region. The statistics bear out this reality. Youth unemployment is exceptionally high in many Arab countries, while poverty is widespread, especially in rural areas. The only Arab states with low unemployment and poverty levels are in the resource-rich Gulf states, as you might expect. To the detrimental of local people, global powers have propped up despots like Mubarak, Ben Ali, and the monarchies in the Gulf with aid, military trade, and political support. This has created what many have termed crony capitalism, where people close to the regimes become incredibly wealthy at the expense of the general population. The Arab uprisings have also transformed the region. Nearly every Arab country has been affected in some way by conflict or unrest over the last 2 years. This has had serious implications for many economies, which have suffered because of instability. There has also been a large-scale displacement as a result of these conflicts. The UN estimates that refugees from Syria, Iraq, Yemen, and Libya number in the millions. This regional situation has likely had a disastrous impact on workers' health, yet the existing surveillance system do not allow us for the documentation of these changes. Very poor surveillance systems. Moreover, Arab governments have also contributed to the lack of progress for workers' health in the region. In 2007, the ILO commissioned me to carry out a study evaluating the legislative framework for occupational health and safety in Arab countries. Through an extensive review of government documents and labor legislation, I discovered that the laws for occupational health and safety in most countries were completely inadequate and that enforcement was inconsistent at best, sometimes not existent even. One of my findings was that although many Arab states have limited resources, the major failure was a lack of political commitment and a culture of indifference towards workers' health and safety. The status of public health institutions in the Arab region is poor. Arab health systems rank lower compared to other states, while health expenditures are very low as percentage of GDP. Studies have also shown that health inequalities in the region are amongst the highest in the world. This is partly due to weak primary health care institutions that have failed to provide fair and adequate health care to vulnerable groups such as informal workers, refugees, and migrants. This is not to say that all is bad in the region. I have really described a very gloomy picture. I apologize for that. If anything, the uprisings have been a wake-up call for many governments as people have demanded change that secures their basic livelihood and dignity. Yet, if recent trends are any indication, most states are still very focused on security solutions to popular unrest. Another trend to watch for is towards market liberalization. If privatization spreads to the health sector at the expense of public institutions, health inequalities may become further entrenched among more impoverished populations. Governments focused on security and economy has translated into a relative silence on many livelihood issues, including workers' rights. Complicating matters further, there are so many things that people are demanding be changed. While most of the public would like support improvements to workplace safety and health, it's possible that this particular issue may be lost in the fray of demands for more employment, more social security benefits, better health care, and democratic rights. The silence highlights the necessity of strong labor movements to help foster this change. Organized labor had a role in ending two dictatorships in Tunisia and Egypt, and in protesting for improved working conditions and job security. Yet, in several countries such as Egypt, Lebanon, and Syria, some labor movements have been co-opted by the ruling elite, making them largely ineffective. Meanwhile, labor unions do not even exist in the Gulf states. Arab countries need more advocates for workers' rights that can pressure politicians into action. What about us? Likewise, academics have a role advocating social change, yet our actions speak loudly of our general apathy towards workers' health. As part of a book chapter titled Workers' Health, a Social Framework Beyond Workplace Hazards, in a book that has recently been published by Cambridge, I, with colleagues, reviewed existing occupational health literature and found that studies of Arab populations were neither comprehensive nor coordinated. Moreover, the existing literature has not articulated how workers' health is affected by cross-cutting political, economic, and community development. Partially, these shortcomings are a result of little institutional support for this research, but there may also be another problematic at play. In fact, our silence may reflect the discipline's close ties with state and economic institutions. Not all of them, I have to admit. We as public health practitioners must often balance what our expertise informs us to do and what powerful institutions are willing to allow us to do. This is a very tricky dilemma for us when many Arabs are demanding immediate change. So what can we do? The question is, what can we do? First, public health researchers need to invest more energy in studying working populations. Establishing national coordinated bodies would be an important first step in developing national and regional research agendas. Second, our obligation as researchers is to put our evidence-based analysis in the hands of powerful decision-makers. But we must also strive to embody the democratic values of the uprisings by making our research accessible to other communities of action. In workers' health research, this means empowering labor organizations and movements with our expertise, thereby strengthening their position to negotiate a better deal for workers. Elsewhere, we have to be more vocal advocates of workers' rights within our own discipline and the institutions that we often collaborate with, ranging from universities, policy institutes, and state offices that extend their ears to us, sometimes. Some of this is already being done, but it clearly hasn't been enough, as there is still much more to accomplish.